basketball falls in the GPAC tournament, baseball sweeps Graceland, and track and field and wrestling are currently live at Nationals, we will bring you some updates. All in this and so much more from Season 3, Episode 21 of Talking Dogs. I'm Kai Ulbrich here with Aaron Spivey. Aaron, how's it going today?
I'm doing good, Kai. You know what? I've been a bad co-host because I never asked how you're doing. So how are you doing, my man?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. You know what? It's been a good day. It rained last night.
It did.
Which means it didn't snow.
That's true.
But it rained. I walked outside this morning and it smelled like spring. So that made me happy.
Spring is here, my friend. Spring is here.
Well, hopefully we don't get an April snowstorm.
Hey, don't. Hey, April's my birth month, man. You ain't gonna
disappoint. Hey, it's mine as well. It's mine as well.
When's yours?
30th.
8th.
All right, so you're a little older than me.
I am. I'm 21. About to turn 22. But yeah. Enough of that. We got some action to happen. We got some sad news, though, because, you know, the GPAC tournament has come to an end. And sadly, both of our Bulldogs men and women's basketball team did not win it, though. So let's get started with the women's basketball game, with them losing to Dort.
Yeah, so it was a really tight one. You know, Dort is the number one team in the country.
Yep.
We took them right to the fourth quarter. We were with them till the end. We lost 71-65. And we were actually leading at halftime. It was 32-29. Dort was able to, of course, pull off the comeback thanks to a strong third quarter. They scored 23. We only scored 14. We were even in the fourth quarter, but man, it was tight. I was watching those last couple minutes. But both games, the men's semifinal and the women's semifinal, were on at the same time. So I was like switching back and forth between
them.
And so it was an exciting last 5 minutes in both games, but an exciting one in this one for sure. We had a couple of pretty good performances. We had Ayla Roth come up big. She scored 14 points, 5 for 11 shooting. She also grabbed 6 rebounds, dished out 2 assists, 2 steals. We also had Sammy Liu, 11 points, 5 for 8 shooting. We had Raylan Kelty with 10, and then Bree Bunting and Kristen Wieselmeyer both with 8 points apiece. So a solid team performance, got the points spread around quite a bit, had a really nice start. It's just that third quarter.
Yep.
Just not doing it. What are your thoughts?
I would say that it was a little bit of good defense from Dort because they are, you know, champions and they have that that fast-paced pressure. I think they got the adjustments right enough to, you know, take over the game to get on that 23 points, though. And I'm not going to say, I mean, Concordia did their best to hold on their own and give a dogfight because, you know, it's a semifinal game, but both teams played great. Just when the final minutes came in, Dort pulled out, and Concordia played a heck of a game right there in that semifinals against, the defending champs.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are now, after the GPAC tournament, overall record is 23-7, 17-5 in the GPAC. And we have, a little side note. You'd expect Dort to go on and win the whole tournament. But yes, they were actually upset in the championship match by Dakota Wesleyan.
Get out of here.
Yeah, what was the score in that game?
Oh, that game, let me just get it up real quick. It was 84-76.
So a tight one, but congratulations to Dakota Wesleyan on the GPAC championship, dethroning the mighty Dort. Dort will still go into the tournament very, very highly ranked. But despite us not winning the tournament, we still got a bid to Nationals. So we will be playing on March 15th. We're coming into the tournament as a 6 seed, so just, you know, your normal March Madness. You got four brackets,
yep,
1 through 16, so you got 64 teams. So we are going in as the 6 seed, playing against Bethel from Kansas, and that'll be at our place, most likely.
We're hosting it?
We should be hosting it as the high seed. And then everything else will be in Madison, South Dakota.
Okay.
Because we're in the same side of the bracket as Dakota State. They're the 3 seed. So just to play it out a little bit, if we beat Bethel, we move on to play the winner of Dakota State and Grandview. That game will be in Madison, South Dakota.
Okay.
So, then after that, you know, you go on to the round of 16, and then the quarterfinals, semifinals, and then hopefully we're crowned a national champion. So we'll see how that all plays out. It'll be starting up close to the end of spring break, so we'll be able to give you a breakdown of everything that happens once we get back from the break. But looking forward to seeing all of the good things that our Concordia women's basketball team will do. And confirm, Dort is still a one seed, so they'll probably have a bit of an easier run through the bracket, but definitely nothing we can't handle. Got an 11 seed up first, and then a 3 or 14 seed after that.
I like it.
And the one seed on our side of the bracket is Freed Hardman from Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Yeah.
Okay, not bad.
So we'll take it.
Yeah, indeed.
Good opportunity. But now we have to talk about the bad news. And that is what happened with the men's basketball team.
Wait, before the bad news, there is good news. Remember, the upset. I mean, we upsetted Morningside first.
Yes, but it's overall bad news.
I call it good and bad news.
There is some good news as well.
The good news.
So
is
we'll start with the good news first.
Yeah, come on, man. You can't just go straight to the bad news. Come on.
So we talked about last week the big comeback over Dort in the first round of the GPAC tournament. Beat them 66-60, and that gave us the opportunity to play in Sioux City, Iowa against Morningside in the GPAC semifinals. Morningside we've lost to twice already this season in regular season action, but we were finally able to turn the tides and get the win over them. We beat them 92-87. The separation came from the first half where we topped them by 7, 47-40, and we had a couple of big performances. If you had to guess who the biggest performance was from, who would you guess?
Well, I would say one person. I'd probably say like a duo on my end. I think maybe Brooks Kissinger first, and then a little bit to contribute Dane Jacobson.
You are exactly right with that. And also Zach Koulis bringing up a nice trio of almost getting to 20 points. So we had Zach with 19 points on the day, 7 for 11 shooting. We had Dane Jacobson, like you said, 23 points, 8 for 12 shooting, also grabbed 7 rebounds, got 3 steals. And then Brooks Kissinger, a monster, 33 points, almost got the double-double. He had 8 rebounds. If you remember the last time we played Morningside, Brooks got a triple-double. We didn't go to overtime this one, so a little bit less time to make that happen, but he still contributed the 33 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. He was 11 for 19 shooting, 3 for 4 from three-point range, 8 for 14 on the free throws. Overall, we shot 54.2%, 37% from beyond the line, and then 72% from the charity stripe. We were able to it really came down to we shot just a little bit better than them. If you look at the shot count, it's very similar.
Yeah.
We had 25 free throw attempts. They had 27. We had 28 three-point attempts. Sorry, they had 28. We had 27. We had 59 total field goal attempts. They had 54. And we just shot very marginally better, 2% in each category. And then they shot 5% better on free throws. But it was enough to get the job done in a very, very back-and-forth game. The last 5 minutes of that one were very intense. At one point, I think it was about 2 minutes left, we were up by 10. They just start chucking up threes and they start going in. And I'm like, oh, shoot. It was within 2 points at one point. And then we had some good free throw shooting towards the end of the game. I know Zach, he only had 2 free throws in the whole game, but both of them were in the last minute. Sunk them both, able to get us some separation. And then, you know, they go down with 20 seconds left. And finally, they missed. We got the rebound and were able to run out the clock.
That's a good win. And I'm very proud of that moment right there, if you tell me that.
Absolutely. But then we have to get to the bad news.
Oh, boy.
And that is a GPAC championship loss to Northwestern. And it was a pretty big loss.
How big was it, Kai?
It was a 30-point loss.
Good boy.
102-72. And most of the problems came in the second half of the first half. We were with them for the first while. Like we had it tied at 25 at one point. And we were actually up for a couple minutes. Yeah, we were up 25-23 with 10 minutes left in the first half. Then it goes 25-25, and then we end the half down 57-32.
Ooh, man.
So just to do some quick math there, If they had 23, they ended at 57. That means they scored 34 points while we scored 7 to end the half.
Must have been turnovers converting to points as well, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when we actually look at those turnover stats, we had 13 total throughout the game. Northwestern had just 4. So, like you said, they're able to get a lot more points off of those actions. Two of their two star players, both GPAC, all conference first teamers, and that is Jalen Langsey and Jesse Van Kalsbeek. They both had really solid games. Jalen had 30 points. Van Kalsbeek had 26. So they were both leading the line pretty well. Brennan Reed contributed with 14 points, and when Coach Limbach was talking after the game, he mentioned that when you let certain players get hot early, it gives the role players a lot of confidence. So letting, you know, Jalen and Jesse get some shots up early, it gives, you know, some of the guys who maybe not aren't stealing the spotlight, but it gives them confidence to shoot well. So like Brennan Reed, he had 14 points, but he was 5 for 6 from shooting, 4 for 5 from 3-point range. So he obviously had a lot of confidence in this one. Our star player was Zach Kulis in this game. He was just shy of his career high total, 20 points. He had 4 rebounds and an assist. He was shooting 6 for 12 from 3 and then 7 for 14 from the field. Brooks came up with 17 points, 7 for 12. Dane just had 11 in this one, wasn't getting a ton of shots up. And then off the bench, Hayden Frank came up with 9 points. An unfortunate aspect of the game was our really poor free throw shooting. We only went to the line 9 times, but we converted just 4 of them. And that's been something Brooks has struggled with all season. We know how good he is at getting up to the basket.
Right.
But when he's fouled, he does struggle from the free throw line.
It happens.
Yeah, he was 1 for 5 in this game.
It happens, though.
It does. It's just one of those holes in his game right now. There's not many, but that's just one of them.
Right.
So he's incredible at getting to the basket, getting points up, getting rebounds, assists. He's great at all that. Just the free throw line is sometimes his nemesis.
Yes, it is.
So we'll see how he puts in the work for next year, because unfortunately, that is the end of the season for the Bulldogs due to us not being selected as an at-large bid for the national tournament. Unfortunate. Some might say we should have made it. Some might say we shouldn't have. You know, a couple of those losses stand out as reasons we wouldn't. You know, that loss to Waldorf and that loss to Hastings really hurt our resume. But Northwestern's going in as a 4 seed to the national tournament. We beat them twice in the regular season. So you'd think maybe that could offset, but the committee ultimately decided that the Bulldog men's basketball team would not be making the national tournament.
Right.
So unfortunate in that, but we do have some GPAC All-Conference news, and Brooks Kissinger is a GPAC first-teamer. So congratulations to him.
Right.
Are you saying something?
Yes, I've seen something, because the first update of the women's 60-meter hurdle prelims just started, and we got our second heat as Adriana just run at 8.38 in the 60-meter hurdles, while everyone else in the other flight ran at 8.62, 8.73, 8.81, 8.99, 9.03, and a 9.10.
Oh my gosh.
Meaning Adriana's going to go to the finals for the 60-meter hurdles.
And by a lot as well. And you think in a prelim, you're not gonna go gas on the prelim if you're winning by that much. So I think she's still got more in the tank.
And the result is that every heat in the 60-meter hurdles finals is that the top 2 from each heat automatically go to finals. Okay. So we got 2 girls from Heat 1. We have Madigan Kelly from Lewis and Clark making it with a run of 8.51.
I think that's one of the fastest non-Adriana times of the season.
Yes, and then we have Addison Trevspatar from Grandview, who ran an 8.59. Then you go to Heat 2, where Adriana clearly ran an 8.38. Then Latrace Williams from Lawrence Tech ran an 8.62. While we still have one more heat to go, well, I'll probably keep you updated on that one to see what's going to be the looks for it as the time being. We got to talk about men's race walk, Kai, so go take over on that part.
Yeah, absolutely. So transitioning over from basketball, just wanted to reiterate Brooks's all conference first team. But moving on to track and field, we have the men's 3K race walk, where we have our first All-American of the national track and field meet. We have the Jet, Johnny Jerkin, with a PR and new school record of 12:14.38. It was enough for sixth place at the national meet. We had some really strong competition in this one. Owen Nolte from Benedictine ended up winning with an 11:51.71.
He was moving.
He was almost running. Speculation.
No. Speculation. That's why I'm just letting it sit in the air for a second. Just go ahead and fix yourself with that one.
Yep. Almost running, but obviously not quite if he didn't get disqualified.
It was a valid race walk that it looked like he was running, but he's technically doing the heel toe.
As you should be. You should be almost running in the race walk. So doing it just right, just like Johnny did. Like we said, new school record, new personal record for him. We also had Jack Haybeger get ninth place with a 12:58. So great to see him breaking 13 minutes. And yeah, Johnny is back-to-back All-American, so congratulations to him.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt. We got another update for the women's 60-meter hurdles as the final heat just got started. The fastest time for the third heat was 8.49, and then the second fastest was 8.52.
Okay, so there's some competition in the field, for sure. But nothing getting too close to Adriana.
Only the person close to Adriana in the race is Jayona Perry from Ottawa, which is the 8.49.
Okay.
That's probably the closest one right there. Now remember, this is prelim, so
yes.
Now remember what we said about all the last times Adriana has competed against people that are like close to her in racing. When it happens, when she goes against real races, she will turn on the jets.
She elevates, yes. This is still over a tenth of a second slower than her PR. She ran an 8.27 at the last UNL meet, so excited to see what else she has in the tank. Maybe she can go faster? Never know.
I feel like she can.
I feel like she can too, but we have the... I don't know if it's official yet because it just happened, but we have a tentative final... I guess a final field for us. So it's going to be Adriana racing in that lane 5. And we've got Jayona Perry, Madigan Kelly, Olga Gomez, Addison Terpstra, Latrice Williams, Nirania, Bar Miller, and Akila Knox. Currently, that's what it's looking like for the championship field. We'll see if any results get finalized, but for now, that is what the championship field is going to look like.
Yep, and don't forget, we still got another racer for the men's 60-meter hurdles coming up next, right after this one. So while we're waiting for that one, we got to move on to another topic as much until we get the live results on that one. So,
yeah, we can talk about baseball right now.
Boom, let's do that.
So right now, Concordia Baseball is ranked number 18 in the country. We just had a new poll released on that over the last weekend. Went down to Fort Scott, Kansas, dominated Graceland 4-0. Throughout the four games, we scored 54 runs. So we won the games 15-5 in the first one, and then 15-1, and then we won Sunday's games 13-8, and then 11-1.
Okay.
So we had some pretty standout performances from a couple guys on Saturday. Jaden Jordahl, he got back-to-back 3 RBI performances. So he had 5 hits, a double, a home run throughout those two games. Bronx Lewis and Carson Burnett also got 3 RBIs in that first win on Saturday. Luke Wilson got 4 RBIs in the second game of Saturday's. He had a double, a triple, and throughout his 4 plate appearances. Jack Hertscher got 3 RBIs. He had a double and a home run. Jimmy Bloomberg and Jordahl also had 3 RBIs in that 15-1 game. So all that was just the Saturday games.
That was all Saturday?
That was all Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
Now we have, also the pitching staff only allowed 14 hits over the two games, struck out 21. So there were a bunch of different pitchers coming in and out of those two games. But as a group, they only allowed 14 hits. And then Jake Watson... was a big player in the Sunday game. He was one hit away from the cycle, which would be a single, double, triple, and home run. So he got 3 RBIs with a home run, double, and single. So just needed that triple. And then Andrew Fetty and Wilson, they finished each with two RBIs. And then pitching on those games, Caden Bogarski pitched 2 2/3 innings in relief and didn't allow any runs, just one hit and 7 strikeouts in that first Sunday game. So really good performance from him. And then Bronx Lewis had a great hitting game in the last Sunday matchup. 3 RBI home run to cap off the week. Cole Jackson chipped in 2 RBIs, and then Watson got 2 as well. And then for that final Sunday game, we had a freshman, Devin Gonner, got the win. He pitched 5 innings to seal the weekend. So they are 11-3 on the season after that game. I believe they're playing today. So let's check in on how they're doing. It looks like they lost their first game yesterday. They're in a 4-game series with St. Thomas University. Okay. So they lost 3-15 in the first game yesterday.
You
so
said 3-15.
3-15, yeah. So just not a great performance overall. We left 8 guys on base in this one. Only got 5 hits, so just not a great overall performance. We tried out 5 guys on the mound. No one really was working out. We had Ernie Snyder got the loss. He started the game, pitched almost 2 innings, allowed 4 runs, and then we were cycling out through a few different guys. No one could really keep the St. Thomas batters under control, so got the 15-3 loss on that one. Their pitching staff had a good game, only allowed 5 hits and 3 runs throughout the day. So we'll see how the rest of the series goes. They'll be starting up at 2:00 today. They'll play at 2-5, and then they'll be at 12 on Saturday tomorrow.
Okay, that's some good stuff.
Yeah, and then you can look at softball. So softball won 3 of 4 games over the weekend. We had some, I don't think it was a totally same thing like Graceland, where it was playing the same team 4 times. We had a bit of diversity in this one. Ended up playing Mount Mercy University and Clark University, as well as 2 games against Kansas Wesleyan.
Okay.
So we split the games with Kansas Wesleyan. We talked about this last week, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, because that was the game where it was the 4-3, 3-4. Everything was matching up even.
The balance is on that one. So maybe a little bit of a brain fart right there, but it's fine.
Yeah. So just wanted to talk about the evenness again. But we had 2 games on February 28th to cap off the month. A 7-2 win over Mount Mercy University, and then a 6-1 win over Clark University. You know, that 7-2 win, a really good day for Kaylee Dennison on the mound. Only allowed 5 hits and 2 runs. Walked 4, struck out 9. So really solid day.
I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really good day for her. She gets the win. She's now 4-3 on the season. Hitting-wise, Taryn Ganstrom was the standout. She had 3 hits in her 3 at-bats that resulted in 3 RBIs, and she got 2 runs of her own. Mary Beth Hart got 2 hits and a run. Abriel Boyle got a hit. Toby Topp got 2 hits, so a couple other one-hitters. So good overall performance there. And then against Clark, that 6-1 win. We went up early, scored in the 1 in the first inning, 2 in the second, 2 in the third, and then 1 in the sixth. They didn't have to play the 7th inning because we were second. We were already winning by 5, so didn't even need to play it.
Yeah, fair enough.
On the mound, we had Kirsten Lynn get the win. She pitched 6 innings, allowed just 3 hits and 1 run, struck out 3. And then Brooke Moore came in to finish out the game, pitched 1 inning, 0 hits, 0 runs, 0 walks, 1 strikeout.
Oh, I like that.
So pretty much a perfect inning.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. On the hitting side, we had Mary Beth Hart once again doing the business on the in the batter's box. Got 3 hits, 2 runs, and an RBI. Kiera Ferriter got 2 RBIs, and then we had Lacey Joseph with 2. Aubriana Kreiser got 1 RBI as well. So another solid weekend from the softball team. Have some games over this weekend, going to be in Wichita, so against Baker University and Bethany College. Okay. Just 1 game against each of those teams, so just 2 this weekend.
Yeah, that's fair. That's valid. I mean, they're doing really good right now. I like the stat that you have given me, and they're on a little bit of a got a little bit of momentum going, would you say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They've been doing solid this season. Decent record right now, 8-6. Remember, they kept having an even record. They'd be like 2-2, 3-3, 4-4. Finally getting into that winning record area, improving a bit on last season, and hopefully can get some more wins as we get into the GPAC portion of the schedule. The first GPAC game is going to be against Midland on March 18th in Fremont. It's crazy how long they go without having a home game. First home game is going to be March 27th against Morningside.
Mm.
So, moving on, we have some wrestling action.
Yeah, they're at Nationals too, right?
They are currently at Nationals. We talked about all those national qualifiers. So, just to run you through who made the event, we had Torrance Keene, we had Stephen Barnes, Hunter Weimer, Gabe Kant, Cole Price, Cal Price, and then number 13, Barrett Brandt, and these are national rankings. Number 8, Paul Ruff, and then number 4, Hagen Highstand.
Okay.
So we have a couple of guys still in the competition. Right now, Hagen and Paul are still in the championship bracket. So Hagen, who's wrestling, like I said, at number 4 nationally.
Okay.
He had 2 tech falls in his first wins. He got the win over Emmanuel Celestine in the first match, 22-5. Did the exact same thing to Drake Jenkins in the second one, 22-5 again. And it's going to be a good one in this next matchup. It's going to be number 4 Hagen versus number 5 Bryce Baumans.
I love a four seed versus a 5 seed matchup, because like anything can go, man.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen. He's been wrestling really well so far, Hagen. He's gotten those 2 tech falls, so good for the team points as well.
Absolutely.
We'll keep you updated on how the team scoring is going, but we also have another who is making his way through his championship bracket, Paul Ruff, wrestling at number 8, and he has also got the tech fall, 17-0 in the first round against John Davis. Close one in the second one. He won by a score of 1-0 against Justin Rodriguez, and then we actually just have, we were talking before this, he had a matchup against the number 1 in the bracket that has just concluded, and he ended up losing 8-0 against Aaron Lucio.
Oh man.
So we'll see how he does in the he's still wrestling.
So it's like a double elimination, or
there's 2 sides of the bracket in wrestling. You got the championship bracket and then the consolation bracket. And if you lose, it kind of is double elimination. But once you make the consolation bracket, I think the best you can get is 3rd.
Okay, that's fair enough.
So he's now up against number 3, Matthew Terrence, from, it looks like, Doan. So
Doan versus a Concordia matchup for 3rd.
Come on, get it done. So we'll see. It's still a little bit through, going through the bracket a little bit. Actually, we can just check the bracket. They have him right here.
Yeah,
we can see what his path is at this point.
Go ahead.
This is all happening live. So if we can find him. Okay, so found him in the bracket. So yeah, he's on the consolation side of the bracket. But we have, like I said, Paul Ruff against that Doan guy. If they win, or if Paul wins, he goes to another match.
Okay.
And then if he wins that, he'll play, or he'll wrestle against the loser of a semifinal match. And then so you have 2 semifinals.
Gotcha.
So each of the losers from the 2 semifinals will go in a semifinal for the 3rd place match. And then, so if he wins his next match, wins the one after that, then he'll play against the loser of the championship match semifinal for the 3rd place.
Okay, so
he needs 3 more wins and he'll get 3rd.
There you go. That was
2 more wins and he's guaranteed 4th.
Okay, that was like a hard thing to think of. I'll give you credit for that, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah, wrestling brackets can be confusing.
Indeed, it can be. So I'm giving you props for that.
Thank you, I appreciate it. But we do still have a couple of athletes left in the competition. So we'll run you through what's happened with them. We have Stevie Barnes still in it. As of the start of this episode, we'll see if anything's changed since then. It looks like he might be done. He ended up losing. He lost the first one. He's unranked. He lost the first one to the number 10. And then he won 6-1 in his second match, won 8-2 in his third match, and then ended up losing to the number 16, Drew Jones, 8-3 So I think that one will be done. Because, yeah, double elimination. So he is now done. We also have number 13, Barrett Brandt. We'll see if anything's happening. It seems like stuff is happening right now.
A lot of things are happening.
Okay, it hasn't happened quite yet, but he won his first match 21-2, so a tech fall. Lost to the number 4, Adrian Chavez Morales, 9-3. And then he won 3-2-0 in his third match up against Doug Dittmer, unranked in his next matchup. So hopefully he can get the win in that one. And then Torrence Kean, again, as of the start of this episode, was still in it. It looks like, yes, he is still currently in it. He lost to the number 11 in the first round. It was 12-12, so it must have been a tiebreaker. So really close to getting that upset win. But then he won 13-3 in the second one, and then 11-6. In his most recent match, and he's coming up against number 4, Elijah Hines.
Okay.
So, good luck to him. Do we have any track and field updates?
They just started the men's 60-meter hurdles. Hayden Kluve is in the third heat, and they just finished the first heat of the men's 60-meter hurdles. And the fastest time, Kai, like, I want to give you, like, give me a guess of what you think the fastest time is going to be for the first, like, the fastest time for 60-meter hurdles for men.
8 flat.
I'm sorry, my friend. It is 7.9.
Oof. That is quick.
8.07 is the second fastest.
All right. Well, we know Hayden has run an 8.04 before.
He ran, yeah. And the second heat will begin, obviously, coming up soon. He's in the final heat. That's the thing. So,
all right.
While we're doing that, we might have to move on to the next topic, tennis.
Well, yeah. Well, Concordia, just to wrap up wrestling, currently sitting number 15 in the team standings. Out of 63 teams.
Okay.
So not too bad of a place to be in. Grandview is currently leading the standings, but yes, we can move on to some tennis action. They're playing right now.
So many live things are happening right now.
I know, right? Well, we don't have live results for tennis, unfortunately, but we do have some previous results.
Yep.
And both the men's and the women's teams are continuing their very excellent seasons. They've been killing it all year long. The men's tennis team is currently 8-1 overall, a really big improvement over last year. Their most recent game was unfortunately a loss against Bethel College, but a little insider information, we had two guys who were not feeling great in that one, just some minor injuries. They played the day before, so they were pretty tired, a little bit knocked up. So definitely a loss that could have been a win and could be a win in the future if we play them again. But just to run you through, we beat McPherson 4-3, then lost to Bethel 3-4. We have a couple guys who are still undefeated in singles competition, but we had Nick Velders win his singles. We had Danny Caballeros win. We had Leo Lopez win. So Leo and Danny, I think they're both still undefeated, and I believe Nick is as well. We ended up winning the doubles point as well. We had Nick and then Ben Chisholm win their doubles match, and then Danny and Santiago Abadia win their doubles match as well. That gives us the 4-3 win. And then that loss against Bethel, we had Nick Velders win his match. We had Danny win his. We had Leo win his. And then Bethel swept the doubles points.
Okay.
So that's the updates from the men's tennis team. The women also having a very good start to the season. They're currently 7-3. Unfortunately, two losses on the bounce. They lost to McPherson and Bethel. That only other loss, though, is to D1 UNO. So, you know, take with that what you will. Not expected to win those games. But against McPherson, we had Alexa Richard and Nina Milic win the singles matches. We lost this one 5-2. We had one of our doubles teams win. It was Shane German and Mariana Milano. So, unfortunately, if you just win one of the doubles, though, you don't get anything out of it. And then against Bethel, we ended up losing that one 5-2 as well. And we had Shane Derman and Alexa Richard win their matches, and then Bethel swept the doubles.
Okay. Not bad. Not bad indeed.
Yeah. And then both of those teams are playing right now against Grandview here. So it's going to be, not sure if they're inside or outside. I think it's a little bit windy. Maybe just have it outside. The courts might be wet, but maybe they are outside. We can always take a walk over after this.
We could.
And see what's up.
We could. Now, I do have some updates on the Heat 2 men's 60-meter hurdles. right now, as this next fastest time is 7.93.
Okay.
Then we have a lot of people being running 8.02, 8.03, 8.05, 8.16, and 8.21.
All right.
So now we are getting close to the final heat of the men's 60-meter hurdles. And that's going to be taking a while because they have to do their, their run-throughs. Obviously, they can do, like, a practice block start. So it's going to take a while, and we don't want to get too long for people on this episode, right, Kai?
No, definitely not. But we had just we've been jumping around a little bit this episode. Sorry about that. Just we have, a lot of live action going on. Just want to shout out a couple more of those all-conference athletes for basketball because we had the full team released. Like we mentioned, Brooks Kissinger, first team all-conference. We also had Dane Jacobson, second team all-conference, and then Jackson Stuvey, honorable mention, along with Zach Kulis. On the women's side, we had Kristen Wieselmeyer earning herself a first-team all-conference placement. We had Ayla Roth with a second team, Sammy Liu, honorable mention, and then Raylan Kelty and Juliana Jones with those honorable mentions, all along with Bree Brunting as well. So a couple of all-conference honorees, so love to see that from the men and the women. I think that's 10 total throughout both teams, and yeah. If we want to talk about BAM Athlete of the Month for February, we had the Bulldog Athletes of the Month. We had Johnny Jurkin and Adriana Rodensel. So a track and field sweep of the Bulldog Awards. We had Nick Velders in tennis, again, jumping around. But we had him get the GPAC Player of the Week. He's 8-0 in singles this season. And yeah. Well, we talked about softball, baseball, basketball, wrestling, track and field, tennis, shooting sports. We placed seventh at the Bulldog Invitational. Had a couple people do pretty well in that one. Coming up, I guess we can talk about coming up later and over break. Spring break.
Yeah, we gotta talk about that because
we won't have an episode over spring break. But baseball, we talked about their upcoming matches. Softball, their upcoming matches. Track and field wrestling currently ongoing. Cheer has the GPAC Cheer Championships at Northwestern today. Dance will be there tomorrow. Tennis is happening right now. Shooting sports will compete tomorrow and Sunday. And then looking at the spring break schedule, unfortunately there's no men's basketball action, but the women will start their national tournament on the 13th, and then hopefully have a 14th game as well. Baseball will be at the Russ Matt Invitational, and we'll have four games against Mount Marty on the 14th and 15th, and then men's golf will be in Arizona. So, good luck to them as they get their season kicked off. And then, yeah.
I do have some news. I got some updates.
All right.
You had to wait so long.
I had to delay a little bit.
Yeah.
Is it good news?
It is... decent news as okay. much with it. For Hayden Kluft, he ran an 8.08
in the 60 meter. That's solid for him.
That's fourth place because he tied with George Brown from Madonna.
So he qualified.
He tied. But then you have 8.01 from Kobe Higginbotham from William Penn. And then Javion Westfield from Indiana Tech ran a 7.98.
Oh, so where does that put him? Because he needed to be top eight to... Was that fourth? That was just in his heat?
That was the third. Yeah, that was in his heat.
Okay.
So right now, if we were to do the qualifiers right now, Lance Jones will go because he gets 7.9. Zakayon Carr from Capsville will be there with 7.93. Jamion Westfield, 7.98. Kobe Higginbotham, 8.01. Walton George, 8.02. George Jose Mitchell, 8.07. Nick Tozer, 8.03. Carrington, 8.05.
That's a tough name. Rodnico?
Rodnico. Like, yeah, Rodnico. Carrington, obviously, 8.05. George Brown and Hayden Kluft were both tied for 8.08, but George Brown's going to go. That's it, because George Brown and Hayden Kluft both tie with it, but Rodnico Carrington had the final spot.
Oh shoot, by 0.03.
But the thing is, if it would have been that one, Hayden wouldn't go because George Brown beat Hayden by 0.071 on the 8.08.
Seven one thousandths
of it. So, and Kane had 8.078.
Gotcha. So it's just a little bit off his PR. He ran 8.04 earlier in the season, but still a really solid effort from him today. Placed 10th out of a very strong 20-man field, so definitely nothing to hang your hat at. A very solid season from him. He's a junior, so he's got one more year left, and I think hopefully we'll see him back at Nationals next season.
That's going to do it probably. First episode. We talked
and
a
then,
lot.
Yeah, just thinking about what we have coming up, we, of course, have the 60-meter hurdle final for Adriana. We'll have the do we have the men's 4x8 already?
The men's 4x8 is done, but they did not make finals.
Okay, gotcha. And so it looks like their time was 7:41. So I'm pretty sure that might be a PR for them. And just to shout out that team, do they give splits for this? Surely they give splits at Nationals.
Maybe till later, but I don't know.
Yeah, it might be later. But a 7:41, I'm pretty sure that's a really good time for them. We had Keith Syke, Trenton Coombe, Lucas Corwin, Justin Sherman, and Trevor Kunchel. Five people. Not sure who actually ran. They're all listed there because you have the alternate there. I know Trevor was nursing an injury. He was going to run if able. And if not, I think one of those freshmen were gonna be dropped. But not sure exactly what all happened with that. Oh, we can get splits. So we were 156.6 through the first 800, and then it looks like that next one was a 157.
Okay.
Then we had, is that a one? That looks really fast. It's like a 152 or something.
Okay, that's fine.
Oh my gosh!
Just read on that one.
Yeah. All right. So really nice performance. That's definitely a PR for them. So. Congratulations. We'll have to talk to some of the guys when they come back, see who is running which leg, because it looks like a really good result. Big PR for the team as well. So definitely nothing to be too disappointed about. As you look at the overall results, they finished 11th. They were about 7 seconds off the qualifying time. So good effort from them.
Absolutely.
Today. I'm thinking about who else we have competing at Nationals. We had 16 total athletes.
So we still got the men's weight throw, which Josiah and Nathan Baldwin. We got the women's weight throw, which is Harper. Then we had race walk with the female one, Renee Hanna-Bedema went. And we still had Addison McCarter, who actually did triple jump as well, too, who obviously didn't do her best, but she still competed well.
Yep, she placed 15th. She was seeded pretty highly. Just was about a foot and a half off her usual mark, so... Still a sophomore, so a lot left to give.
She has a school record now, so.
Yeah, she does have the school record. A lot of time left to make it back to Nationals. Pole vault, we got Jax Jacobson and Evan Hill still up to go. You mentioned Nathan Baldwin, Harper Bocci. We got Nathan Baldwin and Josiah Edwards and McKenna Starkey in the high jump.
I think that's probably going to do.
Yep, and then we also had the women's 4x4 relay go in their prelim. They did not make finals. They placed 14th. Out of 22, and that was Adriana Rodensel, Josie Noble, Kayla, and Taden Kirchner, and Addison McCarter. Again, we're not exactly sure which of those five actually ran. I know Josie was listed as the alternate, so assuming she was the one who didn't run, but maybe she did.
Actually, there's some video that she was running.
Oh, she was running.
She was running.
Okay, then she was running. Not sure who wasn't running then.
Was running. Both of the Kirchner sisters were running, and so was Josie.
Okay, so then it must have been Addison McCarter. So she did not run. Maybe she got hurt in triple jump or something, triple jump was
yesterday.
Oh yeah, triple jump was before that. Yeah, that makes sense. You don't want her running a 400 45 minutes before her main event.
Exactly.
Yeah, makes sense. But yeah, well, this has been a bit of a long one, but it's been fun. Jumping around through a lot of different sports. Indeed. As we kind of wrap up the winter season, track and field finishing up, wrestling finishing up, basketball partially finished up, partially getting into the national competition. So looking forward to recapping all the rest of championship season after break. And yeah, really dig into that spring season. More in-depth coverage on baseball, softball, tennis, and we got golf coming up as well.
Absolutely.
So that'll be it for episode 21 of season 3 of Talkin' Dogs. Be sure to give us a follow at cuenesower.com/podcast and on Spotify. But from Kyle Ulbrich, Aaron Spivey, and everyone else at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!